Joshua 24, starting at verse 13, Joshua 24:13. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, and the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted not to eat, planted not to eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. I'm going to quit right there. But that's what I wanted. You already know sort of where I'm going tonight. Joshua told him there. He told him, he choose you this day whom you will serve. And he went on to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So Joshua said, you have a choice to make. They came through the wilderness, and Joshua was getting ready to die. They was in Canaan, and Joshua was getting ready to die. But before he left them, he gave them that choice that everyone has. They had that day, and he told them, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he went on to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every one of us has to make that choice. And it's just like the Moody told them, it's an I will or an I won't choice. There's no other choices to make. There's no in-betweens. There's no other alternatives. It's either an I will or an I want choice. And we know, I believe all of us here are profess to be Bible believers. We don't have any problem with saying that Jesus Christ is the only way. We know that He said Himself, we said Himself that He is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, when He said, I am the way, He was saying it's exclusive. I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only life. There is no other. There is no other but Him. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, except the name of Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other alternative. Buddha's not an alternative. And the other false gods, Mohammed, there's no other alternatives. I mean, it's even Islam, that's one of the easiest religions in the world to disprove, I think. I mean, you can even trace its origin back about 600 A.D. Muhammad wanted to start his own religion, and he did. But that's one of the easiest ones to disprove. But because those people are so dedicated, I mean, they're making multitudes of followers because they are so dedicated. But because they pray so many times a day, a lot of them, and they do certain things religiously, therefore, they're people that convince people that they have the truth. Even so, even though a lot of them don't even know the history of their own people, Muhammad himself thought he was filled with devils before he died. And he was filled with devils before he died. He thought he was a terrorist himself. He had people executed and killed that disagreed with him. He was a terrorist himself. Now, I just want to say that in case anybody don't know, so you'll know the truth. But Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only true and living God and Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was Christ the Lord, and He was Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. His name means Savior, and He is our Savior, and He's the only Savior. There is none other Savior. Joshua here this day, he gave him a choice. And do you know you have a right to choose? Everyone has a right to choose. You're not an animal. You're not a robot. God made the animals, and the animals do what they were created to do. But isn't it pitiful that mankind, the only one, the ones who are able to give God true worship and praise, they have a choice. But lots of times they choose not to know God. Choose not to believe on the Savior. Choose not to receive Him. They have a right. They have ability. But they make the wrong choice sometimes. But we have a choice. You have a choice to believe. You have a choice to receive. You have a choice to call on God and believe on Him. And also you have a choice, but along with that choice comes a responsibility. Becomes a responsibility. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's your responsibility to call. And I don't know how many might be here tonight that doesn't know Jesus yet, but you'll reach that time of accountability. You young ones, you'll reach that time, not an age, but a time of accountability. And it may be based upon how much gospel you've heard, how you've been raised. Somebody that's been raised in church may reach that time of accountability earlier than someone that hasn't been. But you'll reach that time of accountability when God will speak to your heart. God will show you that you're lost. God will tell you about Jesus. You hear the gospel record that someone died for you. Jesus died for you that you might be saved. He suffered your hell. He took your punishment. He took that you should have taken. And He did it for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have a responsibility. God said, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. He tasted death for every man. He died for you. He died for me. There's no one in this world that He didn't die for, from the youngest to the oldest to the meanest to the goodest. All of them need to be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. He came into His own, and then His own received Him not. That's the Jews. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's every one of us. That's every one of you. As many as received Him. As many as received Him. They that will receive Him. As many as received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you'll believe on Him, He'll save you. There came a time in 1969. I'd heard the gospel plenty of times. I'd heard it plenty of times. I don't know why it took me till 15 years old. I'd heard it plenty of times, but I didn't know what was happening to me. Something was happening. All of a sudden, I got a real concern about being saved. I started asking Mama questions. Mama, what do you do to be saved? And I just thought it was in my mind, in my head, you know. Like we do when a time comes that the Lord starts dealing with our heart. I became uneasy. I became worried. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know there was something far greater than me that was working on me. But God was working on me. God the Holy Ghost was speaking to my young heart. And I started asking Mama questions. And then I went to church that night. And the preacher got up and preached a simple gospel message. But it wasn't simple to me. For the first time in my life, I really heard it. For the first time in my life, it did what it was designed to do. God, the Holy Spirit, made it real to me. God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and made it real to me and spoke to my young heart. And said, Michael Compton, that night I thought I was the only one that was being talked to, as if I was the only one in the whole place. I didn't pay attention to anybody else. I didn't listen to nobody else. At that night, it seemed as if God was talking to me personally. I was sitting back 2/3 of the way back on that side, and I heard Him, and I started just bawling uncontrollably. And I was a shy boy. I'd have never done that in public. I would have never done that in public. But I started to bawl uncontrollably because I didn't see nobody else. I didn't hear nobody else. I just heard someone speaking to me. Making Himself real to me that night, giving me a choice. He gave me a choice that night. And that night, through the gospel, He said, Michael Compton, I died for you. I died for you. I hung on the cross. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. But I died for you. If you'll receive me and believe on me, I'll save you, give you eternal life, and you won't have to go to hell. And I heard Him that night. I heard Him that night. And as a child, There was a godly lady who saw me over there bawling. And she came up and she said, Michael, do you want to go be saved? And I said, I sure do. I sure do. And I went up that night and I got down on my knees. And just like a little child, I took him at his word. I talked to him. I knew he was real. I'd heard about him all my life. I'd been around people that knew him. They'd influenced me. And I knew it was real because of their lives. I knew it was real. I could tell it was real. But that night God made it real to me. And I came and I prayed with childlike faith. Just like talking to my father. It was that real. And I said, Lord, I know what you did for me. Yeah. I know you died to save me. And Lord, I want to be saved. And I need to be saved tonight. And I want you to save me tonight, Lord. And I believed it. I prayed it. And he did it. Yes, and I made a choice that night. I made a choice. He said, he gave me a choice. He said, Michael, I died for you. I died for you. Will you believe on me? Will you receive me? So I can save you and take you to heaven. And I made a choice that night to believe him and receive him. And he did what he said he would do. He did exactly what he said he'd do. He done exactly what he's done for everybody. Everybody that's made the choice that he's given the offer and they made the choice and he's done it. Everybody that's made the choice, they're saved. Everybody. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Joshua gave him a choice that day. You choose whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Elijah told the nation of Israel, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. And at the end, we know the end of the contest. And God sent rain down the fire. Amen. After Elijah's prayer. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And they made a choice that day. They said, the Lord is God. We will serve him. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're saying, yes, Lord, your Savior. Your Savior, you died for me. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. You are Lord. You are God. I trust you. I believe in you with all my heart. I trust you. I make a choice to trust in you and believe in you. We have a record of those in God's Word that made the choices. We have some of those, record of some of those that made the choices. Judas, he had to make a choice. He walked with Jesus 3.5 years, but he made the wrong choice. We have the record, the Bible says, it'd been better for him if he'd never been born. Because he made the wrong choice. We have a record of all, we have the record of Peter and Paul, the men in God's Word that believed on him. God, we say, well, the Lord came to Paul in a special circumstance. Yeah, but it's the same way we do though, really, because he saw the light. God revealed himself to him. God gave him the light, showed him the light. And Paul did have a choice. Paul did have a choice. He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted. And at that moment, Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul had received him as his Lord. Paul had received him. He made that choice. We have a record of those who made choice. We have a record of those down through the ages. Some of them made their choice. I don't remember his name. There was even an infidel man that said he didn't believe God. Some of you probably remember his name. But he came down to the end of his life. And he came right at the end before he died. And he said, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and I'm damned. Yep. At the end of his life, he said, I'm damned. He waited too late to make the choice. He realized a lot of agnostics and infidels in the olden days were more truthful than the ones that are today. A lot of the ones in the olden days, they would say, I choose to believe in evolution because I don't like the alternative. In other words, they didn't like a God that they would be accountable to. A lot of the older ones used to say things like the new ones now, the ones in modern age, they're so wicked and so defiant and they'll beat their fists and say, there ain't no God, I ain't going to believe there's no God, there ain't no God. And science proves there ain't no God. So, of course, there is no scientific proof that for evolution, none whatsoever. Not one little jot, one little tittle. Amen. They ain't never found one missing link yet. Yes, Ain't never found one. There ought to be multiplied millions of them. If man evolved from one little cell thing, and from mineral to one little cell thing, and from a little thing crawled on land, and swam in the sea, and then crawled on land, and then it grew hair, and then it stood up, and all that, there ought to be multiplied millions of skeletons, of missing links between the links. There ought to be multiplied millions. There ain't one.
Amen.
I wonder why.
Amen.
I wonder why. Because God is real. Men make their false gods. They've made all kinds of false gods, but God is real. God is true. God is true. You say, well, somebody, I don't know if there's anybody in this place that say that. Well, how do you know it, Michael? Well, I know it because I know Him. It's how I know it. Maybe you're not there yet. I know it because I know Him. I know Him. He's already done too much. I mean, but besides that, I have His infallible Word. See, when I read this book, I can read any book in the world. And I have a lot of books that I like to read. I even like to read Robinson Crusoe. I like that book. I like to read stuff like that. I read Robinson Crusoe. I can read Robinson Crusoe, but you know, I get tired of reading Robinson Crusoe.
Amen.
After I've read enough, I have to wait a good long period of time before I read it again, because I'd get tired of reading Robinson Crusoe. But you know, I never get tired of reading this book. I mean, every time I read it, sometimes that's the reason we don't want to read it, because of what it says.
Yeah.
Sometimes we sort of set it aside for a time because I know what's going to happen. But when I read that book, it becomes real to me because I know the author of it. Because when God saved me, God's Holy Spirit came inside of me, and He's still there today, and He always will be there. And one of these days, I'm going to be changed. He's going to change me one of these days, and I'll have a body like Jesus. But as long as I'm in this world, He's inside of me. And I can say I know truth. I know what truth is. Multitudes don't know what truth is, but I know what truth is. And I've got a living book, the living Savior, and the living Lord. Because of the choice I made that day. He makes Himself real to me now. Makes Him say, He never leaves me alone. He never leaves me alone. Even though I've been right carny, no good for nothing sometimes since I've been saved. I confess that. I have been. But He never left me one time. I used to think I could lose it. And you know, it's sort of odd. I used to think I could lose my salvation when I was in church like that. The Lord started speaking to me. I started listening to Oliver B. Green, some of them other preachers, you know. And God started speaking to me through His Word. And I thought I could lose it. But you know, it's sort of amazing, us people that thought we could lose it. But it wasn't never me that lost it, though. I believe you could lose it, but I never lost it.
Yeah,
I mean, it didn't matter if I was sort of mean. I didn't get to where I lost it, though. So all of them believe they can lose it, but nobody loses it. But it was a good day when the Lord showed me that He done it all, though. That it wasn't up to puny little me. But He never did leave me. He's never left me. He's never left me one time. He's always been faithful. He's always been true. And He always will be because I know Him and He lives in here. I believe it because I know Him. That's how I know it. I know Him. I couldn't deny Him. There's been multitudes that's died because I couldn't deny Him. They came down to the stake and to the fire and the burning oil. And they would say, either deny or die. They'd say, I'll die because I know Him. I can't deny Him. I know Him. I can't deny Him. If you know Him, you don't want to deny Him. You don't want to deny Him. When I'm there at school, I don't want to deny Him. When somebody starts talking something crazy and contrary to the truth, well, there's something boils up inside of me and says, speak, son. It's time. Tell. You know the truth. You know the truth. Tell the truth, son. That's one reason I believe, because He's inside of me. And I know Him. And if you're a believer, He's inside of you. And that's the reason you know Him. And anybody that don't know Him can't understand that. Agnostics and infidels can't understand that. Oh, you're just fool. You're just fool. No, you can't walk with a person. You can't walk with the person beside of you and not know it. And you certainly can't walk with the person inside of you.
Amen.
And not know it.
That's
Yeah, I mean, after a while, you're going to know it. You're going to know there's somebody's in there. Something's happening. There's something different. And he's in there. That's one reason I know it. We could talk about the scientific realities. We could talk about science and how the Bible is true to science. The circle of the earth, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and a lot of things you know that's true to scientific principles. We could talk about archaeology and all the things that they found. Every time, you know, they used to try to disprove the Bible in a whole lot of different ways. All those things that are in the Bible, they ain't even in history, but now they found, you know, multiplied thousands of things that they said wasn't in there that they found. They've dug stuff up. Oh, there it was after all, you know. We said it wasn't there, but it is there after all. So you could prove it by archaeology and you could prove it scientifically. And you know, you could prove the Bible in a lot of different ways. You can prove it a lot of different ways. But you see, that's not what saved me. I didn't get saved because I believed the Bible scientifically true. I didn't get saved because I studied archaeology. And I didn't get saved because I knew the correct version of the Bible. I didn't even know there's only one for English speaking people. I know that King James Version. And you know, they're proven, I've read in her a while back, they're even proving more all the time that Texas Receptus is a lot more reliable than they thought it was. And you can't depend on people don't believe the Bible to interpret God's Word. You can't expect somebody don't believe the Bible to interpret. I mean, they don't care about it. It takes somebody that loves it to be able to interpret it. Somebody be careful. Be real careful not to do the wrong thing. I mean, this is God's Word. I'm going to be careful and interpret this just right, the way it should be. Somebody that ain't saved can't do that. Don't believe the Bible can't do that. But the Lord... The Lord didn't save me because I knew it scientifically true, or He didn't save me because I knew it was, because all the archaeology proves it's true. I didn't get saved because I knew intellectually. I didn't get saved because I knew something intellectually. See, I'd heard a lot of preaching. My Papa Johnson was godly preacher. I mean, he loved the Lord. As I told before, he used to sit me on his lap and read his Bible. And I didn't think nothing about that then, but I didn't think about that for years. But then one time I got to thinking about him, and I remembered him doing that. He set me on his lap, hold me on his lap and read his King James Bible. And that's precious to me. But I didn't even believe because my Papa Johnson was a preacher, because he was a good man. I didn't even believe because of that. But I believed because God got me to a place to where I had to make a choice. That time of accountability came around. It came around. And there was that night. I was sitting back there. And God made Himself real to me through His Word. He gave me the gospel. He gave me the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I don't remember all the verses He quoted. But He may have quoted that out of John. First chapter, 11th, 12th verse. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And he may have said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know exactly what point it was or what scripture it was, but I knew that God was talking about me when he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He probably read some out of, quoted some out of Romans. But as many in the scripture there, ten, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, that meant me. Whosoever meant me. And you know what? That means you. Whosoever means all of it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I could do that. I could do that. He was telling me to do that.
Amen.
And in that night, 1969, he was talking to me. Michael Compton, if you'll confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Michael Compton, if thou whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, Michael Compton, thou shalt be saved. And it got real to me that night. And I realized the God of heaven, the Creator, and the Savior, and the Lord, I realized He was talking to me. He was talking to me that night. I didn't give a hoot about scientific truth or archaeology or anything like that. That ain't what decides it. It's a choice that decides it. He does the speaking. You do the listening and you choose. Just like D.L. Moody said that night, it comes down to either you will or you won't. You will or you won't. And when that time comes and that day comes, it'll come down to if you will or if you won't. Will you or won't you? I will or I won't. Yes or no. That's the only choice. That'll be the choice that you made. I made that choice that night. He talked to me. And he'd been getting me ready for a long time. He had a lot of godly people around me. And I knew they had something real. And they got my attention. So when the Lord spoke to me, I knew He was real.
Amen.
I knew He was real. And then He became real to me that night. And He made me an offer. And I was ready to accept it. I said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I need You. I want to be saved. I want You to save me." And He done exactly what He said He'd do. And it became their responsibility. My responsibility. God offered it to me. Will you? This is what I did for you. You're a sinner. Jesus died for you. I want to save you. Will you be saved?
Thank you, Lord.
Will you be saved? And I said, yes. And maybe there's somebody here tonight. That the Lord's been talking to you. This is what the Lord told me to preach tonight. It's what He told me to preach. It's been on my heart for a while. But maybe there's somebody here tonight. I wish somebody gets saved tonight. But if nobody gets saved tonight, there's one thing I know for sure. I know some seed's been sowed.
Yes,
sir. I wish somebody gets saved tonight. Let's just all stand right now.